Exactly.
All right.
I think it's time to start.
Excellent. It's all yours, Dave.
Oh, it's all mine. I didn't know I was starting. You can tell. So welcome everybody here. So thank you very much for making it on at 8:15. It's a pretty good effort, and pretty good effort for me as well. I'm not a morning person. So this session here, hopefully you've been catching some of the sessions, so some of the deeper dive sessions and things like that around Windows Phone. And this session here is pitched more around marketplace. And hopefully a few tips and tricks. It's an 8:15 session. It's not a deep session, apparently.
Thank God.
And so there's just going to be some things that, oh, okay, I didn't realize that, or things like that. So as you've spotted already, I've been pushing this site. So please do sign up here. We have an interesting challenge at Microsoft that is very difficult for us to reach out to you folk. So this is basically a mechanism to help reach out. If you want to build something, you can also request a free marketplace sign-up as well through that site and put a reasonable description. And I had a couple of people yesterday just go and put in blah, and I need a little bit more than blah. So if you're up for that. And we're going to be running training events. We've got one planned for Sydney on the 24th and 25th of September, and another one planned out in Melbourne. And basically, be pretty honest with you, I can kind of figure out where people are kind of based. So I'll kind of target those, and we'll try and do some online activities as well. So that's kind of where we're going with that. So this session, is a marketplace session. So my name is Dave Glover. I'm the Windows Phone Developer Advantage. It's based in Melbourne and kind of straddle Melbourne and Sydney nowadays. And Rocky's already introduced himself. So he's the security hack man.
But used to be, formerly security.
Formerly security. He's done a lot around marketplace as well and also had quite a lot of experience in some of the things at work. One of the other things I was going to say is we're also going to, if you do sign up, one of the things that developers often want is to be featured. So if you get your application featured up a marketplace, that can be worth a really big spike. And we can have some influence on it. So again, get yourself signed up there, and I'll make sure that, you know, if you come through to me and say, look, my application's going to be read in X amount of time, can you help me get featured, then I can certainly help you. There's absolutely no guarantees, but we can certainly help you. So you'd be surprised we can put some influence on it. So that's the advantage of coming onto these sessions, I guess, and the advantage of hopefully hooking up on that site. Rocky's going to talk to the agenda.
I am. So we have one of these, too.
We have one of those.
So we're going to talk a bit about these topics, and I mean, you guys can read as well as I can, but we're going to cover a bit about the marketplace itself, and Dave's going to take you through some of the more technical aspects of the marketplace, how to get stuff uploaded, how to adjust some things. We'll go through a couple demos of some of the new features on the marketplace, which is kind of cool, in case you want to look at crash analysis or something. And I'm going to look at more of the marketing or salesy side of the marketplace. How do you make a killer app? What are the kind of things we look for when we're looking for killer apps and things to promote? What are red threads? Right, we have this idea of these things called red threads that we'll go over. And then pricing and ad revenue. How do you want to make your money on your apps? There's a couple different methods you can use. And then we talk about some marketing do's and don'ts. All too often you'll see somebody that's got a lot of marketing, a lot of cool ideas, but the application, it sucks, right? And they do more harm to their reputation than good. And sometimes the opposite is true. There's a killer app out there, but nobody knows about it. So we'll look at some of the ways you can kind of cross-pollinate and kind of get that going, how you want to look at it. So you want to look at a bit about the landscape, right? What kind of apps work best? Who would buy my app, right? When you look at some of these things, you think, what are people out there, what do they want in a phone? And I always think of the analogy like, what kind of stuff do you want in your pocket? Not money. Everybody wants that. But if you had a phone, had a device, had some information on it, what kind of stuff would you want at your fingertips? A common one, travel and bus information, right? Public transport is a really common one. In the Spotlight program we've been running, anybody go to that last night? Spotlight finals, was that pretty cool? Some of those are really cool, like TrafficMate, WasteNot, and all that. They're very slick apps, and they're things you can use regularly. That's the kind of stuff you want. Think about a common usage scenario. People, they're only going to use their phone for between a minute and 10 minutes at a time. Or on a train. If they're on a train, what are they doing with their phone? SMSing, playing games, right? So think about the kind of things they're going to use and what you want to target. Who's going to buy your app? What's your target audience? If you're going to zone in on a particular demographic, learn the demographic. And I'll show you some statistics a little bit later on phone usage, who's the biggest users, and what they're looking at, what they're doing with their phones. Now, desirable app types. This is what I just said, isn't it? Games, social networking, and personal management are the top ones. Now, if you look at some of the Android devices, and we'll look at a chart in a minute on this, there's a lot of functionary apps and remote desktop and things like that as well. All right. So I'm going to hand over to Dave a little bit to talk about some of the distribution stuff, and then we'll get back into the marketing side in a bit.
Okay, so obviously we're now 12 months down the track in terms of what the marketplace looks like, and there were a lot of feature requests went in, and I guess we also knew we had to do some more things. So this section here is just a bit of an update as to what's new around application distribution, so that's kind of where this is going. One of the biggest things we announced a couple months back was extended reach in terms of the geographies at which you can actually, where consumers will actually have the devices. So that's gone up by about 19 new countries. So as software developers, it obviously means we've got a bigger market to go after. It does also mean some greater complexity, depending on what you're targeting, given that there are a lot of language differences in some of those geographies and things like that. So that's kind of the key thing out there, is that from a consumer perspective, there are more devices out there, more countries, and I guess more opportunity to go and sell applications into. Some of the new things we've done. How many people are already signed up on Marketplace? And have? So a few of you. Okay, so you would have seen some of these things. So we've done a lot of work around just trying to make the environment slicker, provide more information. So there's a new dashboard on there, and again, we'll try to lay down information more useful. You have access to things like your statistics for downloads, what countries have come from. You have things like crash analysis, so you can actually see what's happened to your application. You can say, hey, look, this application's crashed X number of times, it's been reported back up. So you can start to see all those kind of things and actually understand trends of your application, which countries it's been downloaded, etc. One of the things I've just banged up there as well is, I think I mentioned this yesterday, is that the release candidate of the developer tools for Mango came out on, I think it was 22nd, 23rd of this month, last month. And so you can now push up applications which are Mango-based up into the marketplace. You'll also probably notice that there's a bit of a spike of people doing that, so you may expect some minor delays. But just keep that in mind. So if you've got an application now, and you want to take some advantages of the new features in Mango, then often it's as simple as just recompiling it for 7.1 for the Mango release and pushing that up in the marketplace. And you'll get things like fast resume and some of those kind of features for nothing for just recompiling your app and putting it back into marketplace. So there's some few things up there. One of the biggest bits of feedback, and certainly we talked about this when we launched Windows Phone, was a mechanism by which you can get applications out there for beta testing. So you want to get an application up there, you want to like invite friends or invite customers or whatever it is, or people are going to review your application. So we now have this beta distribution mechanism. And it's a very quick process. You can basically put an application up there, and it's about 2 hours turnaround time. So you're not going, it's not, the application's not been fully certified, it hasn't been tested for quality and things like that. It's basically getting it up into the system so that you can then invite people. So you can invite up to 100 people using their live IDs, I think it is. I'm pretty sure it's live ID. And they will get a link, what we call a deep link, to that application. So it'll come through and they can click on that, obviously, and that'll install it, be it through the Zune or through the actual phone itself. You can see that they get an opportunity for having the application up there for 90 days. So it's not having an application up there forever. No updates. And the advantage as well is you don't need the end users to unlock their phones. They don't have to have developer-unlocked phones. So a really great mechanism if you want to get applications up there, people testing it, getting some real feedback about, you know, how they think the application's performing and things like that. So that's a great, great solution for that.
So with the no updates,
yep.
Even the app, sort of, the feedback comes back, it's crashing all the time,
you push up a new version. Yeah, but it doesn't have all the version control.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing that there was a lot of demand for is what we call targeted distribution. And this is kind of an interesting one. One of the biggest requests we've had is particularly around enterprise. So how can an enterprise build an application and get it distributed to their employees and things like that? Now, this is kind of a solution which is kind of gearing towards that. It's not the full solution, but basically, effectively what this does is give you the ability to have an application up on the marketplace, fully certified. So it's been through the testing process and things like that. You can sell it or it can be up there for free, but it won't appear in the marketplace. And then effectively what you do is you email people the link, and then they need to go and click on that and install the application. So it's effectively hidden on the marketplace. Now, clearly, that's kind of security by obfuscation, I think, isn't it what we used to teach me, Rocky?
Security by obscurity.
Which is clearly not a great security solution. So if you are building applications which are kind of maybe more enterprise-focused, then you absolutely need to make sure they're kind of credentialed down so that you can't have some random person going loading up the application. But you may have reasons why you don't want it to appear up in the marketplace. So just be aware that you can do that, and it's a very straightforward process. So no limits, applications up there, it's just not registered in the marketplace directory. So great for, you know, potentially customers who don't want that application appearing everywhere. The other thing we did, and I think kind of Rocky alluded to this as well, in terms of categories of applications, gaming is obviously big, and gaming on devices is huge. And so to that end, we've added an additional area inside the marketplace which is really dedicated towards gaming. And so you can get into that, and there's some great categories. There's also rating systems, depending on which country you're in, the rating systems will depend on that. And you can also have some parental control over that. And in fact, I think there's a bit of a UI for that. I think it's managed out through Zune. So there is the ability, so when we have this particularly kind of a portal specifically for games, you can market on that, you can put in featured on the whole gaming environment, etc. So that's an area you're interested in, then just be aware that we've got something there really targeted out at making Windows Phone a great environment for gaming. The other thing we have is we have categories of applications. So these are the ones that are existing at the moment, and if I tab along here, you'll see that we've added in some additional categories. And again, we just want to make things more easy to discover. So you'll see around here that we've got some of these ones are highlighted. But just be aware that if you want to go back, perhaps recategorize your application and things like that, because it wasn't granular enough when you originally published, just be aware that there are some greater degrees of categorization of your application. And obviously that helps towards end users being able to find your application up on the marketplace. Okay, in terms of making money with advertising, so we have an ad control, and we have announced it was very, very Eurocentric, and I think it's gotten spread out into Europe now. We've also announced it's coming down into Australasia, so it will be available in Australia. It's not available yet. We've still got a little bit more work to do, but absolutely be aware that we do have an ad control in there, and it'll hook up into the back-end ad support systems. And you'll be able to, you know, count clicks and all those types of things. The monetization behind that is that you get 70% of the ad revenue that comes through for that. And you can target by Windows Live ID. So when people would define their age group, age or sex or location, things like that, you'll be able to target those people through the system. So just kind of keep in mind that's coming through. As I said before, if you subscribe up to that site before, then I'll make sure that comes through as well. But it's up at pubcenter.microsoft.com is where the whole advertising is, kind of the hub for the advertising mechanism. And it's effectively control, and you can have it in both Silverlight and XNA-based applications out there.
You'll be able to download a copy of these decks shortly after the session and stuff, where you'll be able to click on these links too.
Yeah, thanks. a question came up yesterday, and it's always a bit of a challenge, but the in terms of getting applications, getting them through into the marketplace and getting them more fully certified, The thing that I strongly recommend is that you read the application certification requirement for Windows Phone. It's a complex document, and sometimes it can be loosely interpreted, depending on which end of the certification system you're on. But there's some really good information on that. And there are some just standard ones. I think I mentioned yesterday there's some really obvious gotchas. Things like you absolutely must have end users opt into location services is the most obvious one. And it has to be explicit. You have to say, this is what's going to happen. Do you consent to it? So those are the kinds of things you'll see in that document. But absolutely do check on that and make sure you understand. I've actually semi-highlighted it. If you go to create.msdn.com and you scroll down to kind of like the middle, you will see the link to that document there. And that's where the latest version will be sitting up there, up on that hub. Now, the one other thing that I negated to put onto my slide, which I'm going to show you, is we've also got what we call a marketplace ingestion tool, which sounds kind of like a mouthful this time of day. And that tool there, you can run against your application, and it will go through, and it's basically the same testing tool that they use in the Marketplace Certification Center. So at the very least, you can see, I'm not going to get hit by the standard stuff. Yeah, you may have some documentation issues and things like that, but at least it's going to help you say, okay, these are the areas that have been identified. Before I even start, let's address these issues. And I'll show you that in a moment. So if I head up to the, I'm on number 3.
Yeah.
Thanks.
And wait for the slow fade.
Yes. Okay, so this is the marketplace. And so you kind of get the standard portal. As I mentioned before, you'll find, it's just a great place to go up there. You'll find training material up there if you've not been up there before. You'll find announcements about the developer tools. There's a document, there's a link off there to the application certification requirements. It's absolutely go into that.
How many of you are getting into Windows Phone development or would be new at Windows Phone development? Oh, cool. So this site, one of the things I would recommend first out of the box, right, is go to the site, get the SDK, and get the training kit, like a training kit download for Windows Phone that has got some great labs in it. It shows you how to take advantage of all the cool features on the phone and how to do it pretty much correctly. You have to put your own security code in there. But the training kit is wonderful. And I would also recommend, if you want to have a play, download the Windows Phone to Azure training kit. Because it'll show you how to do a web-based service in Azure and back your Windows Phone apps by an Azure service. The possibilities really open up when you do that. Play with that one, too.
Absolutely. Now, up on here, can anyone spot it? There is also, so we've had the Windows Phone 7 training kit out for the last year or so. We've also released a Mango set of training labs up there as well. I can't actually see them there, but if you go hunting for Windows Phone Mango training kit, I can promise you there's one up there. And I've just
cast. Yeah, I think if you go in the education section, there'll be a list in it deeper in there. But the Mango stuff is very cool. So always get the latest one, and we'll be able to provide a link to it in the notes later.
So I'm signed in here. If I go across to my dashboard. I haven't actually got any payout data, but you can see the applications in here, so some basic information. So you can see kind of like your download stats and things like that, recent crashes for particular applications.
You're an app machine, aren't you?
I'm an app machine, yes. You can look at things like your run rates for your applications. If I go and look at all reports. You can look at crash. You can look at daily downloads. There's a whole range of things in there, and you can drill into those and find out again by geography and all those types of things. So that can be very useful information, just in terms of understanding. Okay, this is a population that seems to have latched onto my application. What can I do to make the most of that? The other thing I mentioned before is the stack tracing. And these effectively the dumps you get of the applications and the crash reports. You get that loaded up as an Excel spreadsheet. And you can see by app ID, and if I scroll across here, I'm pretty damn sure if I go and click on that. Okay, if I go and click on a particular line item there, you can get some indication as to where your application is getting hooked, and at least provide some information. So that's the kind of thing. Obviously, I'm not going to delve into that particularly for now, but you can basically understand where the exceptions are being raised and things like that. So that's quite a useful set of information you can get out of the marketplace.
And were any of you, or were some of you in the session yesterday that Nick and Dave did, where Nick talked about the profiler, the Mango profiler? In Visual Studio, when you have a profiler for your applications, your phone applications, you run it up in the emulator, it'll do memory and footprint profiling and all that. This can help match some of that data up for you so you know what's happening where. But definitely take advantage of the profiler, because things like if you get into 50 megs of memory or something, you'll be rejected from the marketplace and things. So use the profiler tools as well to save you a round trip through the marketplace.
So the next thing I just want to show is just what you would do to load up an application. And the only thing I'm going to show up here is if you want to make an application a beta, then you effectively go and select that option. If you want to go and do private distribution, you effectively have to go all the way through the application submission process, and then there is an option to basically say how you want to register it in the marketplace catalog. And you can say, no thanks, this is private distribution. So, but for doing beta distribution, it's a very simple process. You basically load up your Zap, gets out in the marketplace, and about 2 hours later, it'll be available for you to go and distribute. Okay, so the next thing I was going to show is a tool that we put inside Visual Studio. So remember, the developer tools are free of charge. I thought I had that opened.
If that was my ringtone, I would never hear it.
You just heard that.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Okay, so I've opened up a project up here, and down through here, this option is available in the release candidate version of the developer tools that went up last week, so the Mango version. So you'll see this thing here called the Open Marketplace Test Kit. We'll load that up. And you can see I've pre-populated some of the application with the application icons and things like that. And you can go through and run a series of automated tests. So this will basically do some basic housekeeping. You know, have I got graphics the right size? Am I running in the right mode? If I go and execute that. It'll give you a quick rundown of what's going on there. You can see in this case, it's reporting up that I've got my two application icons are the wrong sizes. And I must admit, I thought the tool was wrong. And then I went and checked the icons, and they were actually wrong. So actually, the tool was pretty good for that. Just picking up some basic stuff that can be wrong with your application. You've also got some monitored tests. So this will try and give you kind of a best guess as to what the application will look like. Now, what it does, it basically loads up the application and it looks at the memory stress on the application, how much memory it's taking on the phone and things like that, making sure it's within the requirements for applications going up to marketplace. The key thing about this is to remember that the emulator on the desktop is not the same performance characteristics of the device. So it actually does recommend here that you also run the application onto a device. So keep that in mind as well. And then there are a series of manual tests. And for whatever reason, this tab takes a while on my little netbook. Click, 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 whir, whir. And the manual tests basically go through the list of tests that the people at the certification will go through as well. and hopefully it'll come up in a moment. So these are manual tests. You need to go and say, yep, tick, pass, et cetera.
And this is really handy because if you submit the application, it could be 2 or 3 days before you know they've rejected it for something, and that just saves you cycles, right?
Yeah.
It's a little bit of time up front to go through this, but think about your normal software development process. You do testing. You do in testing. You go through this anyway. Don't treat phone apps like just some kind of thing you want to chuck out there to see if it's going to work. Try to spend some time on it. Do your forward testing. Save yourself some cycles. Because when it gets rejected, it's kind of a painful experience. You feel hurt inside.
Yes. You know? There was one other thing I was going to show Nick. Nick, where did you jump to for that online help? That's where I thought it was too. Ah, yes, they did, didn't they? So it's probably
sure
making you all dizzy.
Do.
We saw it yesterday.
Goodness. Maybe it's just at the very bottom.
No. Okay, for whatever reason, some of them yesterday had more information associated with them. But for whatever reason, I'm not showing that today. So that's a great tool there. So at least when you go and submit the application, as Rocky said, you're not kind of get back some unexpected stuff. What's going on? And yo. Right. Yeah, that's what I was hoping.
That'd be a good place to go because if they're going to update it, it'll show up there first.
Yeah.
Right. So.
Okay. With that, I'm handing over to you, Rocky.
Are you really?
Yeah, I am indeed. Thank you.
Now I got to push this and wait for our slow fade transition. Right, so, well, this is kind of what Dave just showed you, right? The beta, private. A lot of people have been asking us for something like, well, how do I have a corporate marketplace? That's what the private marketplace is headed towards. So it's on its way. It'll be there soon. Well, it's there now, really. Okay? Now, oh, yeah, yep. Like the Windows 6.5 model.
Sorry.
Like Windows 6.5. Yeah, where you could actually just load apps onto the phone.
Yep.
So the short question, if I got it right, was, is there going to be a private type of marketplace that you might be able to have in your own organization where you can load apps there and people can go there and load apps directly?
Look, we are getting there. We're not there yet with this release,
yep.
But we have stated that we will get to this model where it'll be much more controlled. An enterprise will be able to manage the application distribution. I don't know the timeframes. You hear it referred to as federated marketplace, is a terminology that people use.
That's the marketing thing.
Yeah, but basically, it'll hook up a marketplace to another one. In the next session at 11:30, we've also got some things we're talking more about enterprise management as well. But that doesn't say we have the answer now, but it says where we're going.
Yeah. If you look, the first push of the Windows Phone stuff was aimed very much at consumers,
yep.
Right? And the further we go down the track, like you get into the Apollo timeframe and stuff, we're going to bring more of the enterprise features back into it.
Yep.
So you'll start seeing stuff like that pop up now. Yeah, it's going to watch this space to be continued
of
thing.
So that private distribution, I don't think anyone's trying to kid themselves as a fully enterprise aware, you know, but it's getting there. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Is there any other questions about that or something similar? Okay. Right. So now let's talk about making some money. If you look at this, this is actually a couple months old now. But if you look at Windows Phone, iPhone, Android, these are the top paid and free apps. The number in parentheses at the top up there is the average price for the apps. Okay? Now look at the types of apps that are up there. Look at the free ones for Windows Phone, YouTube, Shuriken Ninja, Adobe Reader, Facebook, common things, social networking games. iPhone, Office Jerk, Turbo Grannies, Virtual Lighter, ABCs of, these are things that people want for free. Okay?
Why are people laughing?
People have them. Now, look at Android, which is slightly different. Google Maps, Flash Player, YouTube, Facebook for Android, Vaulty Free hides pictures. Oh, that's got to be bad. Gas Buddy, find cheap gas, right? Now, what are people paying for? Look at the games. Most of them are games except on Android. On Android, you get Titanium Backup, Root Explorer, ROM Manager, and like this, Documents to Go. Okay, this is the Android Google Apps, Google Docs thing on the phone. On an Android device, you have to pay for pretty much any additional feature. Windows Phone, we've got the Office Hub built in. So you won't see something like that in the Windows Phone list. You don't see a lot of the Office Document Management in as a purchased app. But I think there's a good theme here. How many games do you see on this list? In both categories, free and paid, people are coughing up money for games, right? People are coughing up money for tools. So a lot of people are getting their money from those categories, games and tools. A lot of people expect social networking stuff to be free. So if you look at the paid ones, in the top 10 list, there really aren't any paid social networking tools except like WhatsApp Messenger. Now, if you were to look at this list a while ago, you might see things like Tickle and Skype clients on here. They're not here now, right? Even though they're free. Right? So when you're thinking, what kind of cool game or what kind of cool app can I make? What are people going to want? What are they going to buy? What can I make money on? Think about these lists. Games, tools. People, and I hope I'm not a liar here, people aren't going to pay money for a fart app. Right? They can do that in their own house. Just record it. Think about your target audience. Think about where and how they're going to use their phone. This guy's got a great mobile phone carrier. You stick that sucker in there, and he's always... Of course, you'd have to turn the ringer down a bit, I think. You know, how many of you have ever used your phone on the toilet? How many of you did and don't want to admit it? I know somebody, there was a guy in the toilet just the other day in there chatting away, so I know somebody does it. You know, it happens. Now, are these long-term usage scenarios? Probably not, unless you're having something bad for dinner. Things are going to be short. They're going to be quick. People are going to use these for a couple minutes at a time. If you make a game that's some kind of role-playing game or some kind of adventure game that takes half an hour to get through one level, and if you don't make it and they got to start back at the beginning of the level, that's going to get played exactly one time. Right? People won't want to do that. They need something they can pick up, fiddle with, and put down. Okay? Look, these two bottom pictures down here. Coming in the phones now, most of them are going to have this near-field communications. In Hong Kong and in Japan, people use their phones for everything, including paying for the MTR train tickets, buying things in 7-Eleven. Right? So think about where this is going and what your target audience is. Think about what they're going to use it for and how long they have to use it. Okay? So, seven ways to make more money with your apps. And we're going to revisit the target demographic theme. Use a trial API. Now, here's something that I always kind of gets me about some of these marketplace statistics. The three major phone manufacturers, the three popular profile phone manufacturers, talk about how many apps are in the marketplace. And it's kind of a cool stat because it shows platform support. We have a trial API. You can enable the trial API in your phone, in your application, so people can download it, play with it, get a feel for it, and if they want, they hit the buy button, charges them the money, you get paid, right? That's a much easier model than having to go back to the marketplace and then download a paid version of the same app. Now, here's a trick about marketplaces. If you look at a big fruit company marketplace, they have a bunch of apps in the marketplace. But a trial app and a paid-for app count as two apps for them. They also have the world record for fart apps, number of fart apps. We get a lot more downloads from this. We found that when people get to try it and play with it, hitting the buy button is much easier. It's an easier sell for them. So consider using this and then doing the upsell inside the app. Okay? Don't give away too much of the value. If you want to have a fully featured, full feature set, limit saving, you know, limit communication to the outside world or something. Let them try all the features, but you know, avoid the persisting or something. Something that would be really useful. Make it compelling. Make it sexy. Right? Excuse me. Capability, time or capability. I always like the capability-based trials because time bomb things to me are, they just irk me because sometimes I might download it, try it, open it up, and fiddle with it, and then not be able to get back to it for a little while, and my trial expires before I've actually had time to check out the app. So in my personal opinion, I like capability-based trials better. Limit the features, but let me play with the app when I have time. Okay? And incorporate ads in the trial version. Don't put ads in a paid version. That will irk people to no end. Use a lot. That's a really readable screen. Use live tiles with push, right? Now, this is something we can offer that the other ones don't. And if you look at our phone, it's different. The Metro interface is very different. It's information-centered. Have you seen the live tiles that show information? You know, you've seen probably 50,000 phone demos by now. Email shows up how many emails you got waiting, messages you have waiting. The new ones, like if you do My Trips or something, it'll show you your current trip or the next trip you're gonna take and if it's late or not. Use those live tiles. Bring information right to the start screen on the phone. Bring information that's useful to the people right to where they need it. Indicate live tile in description. Because a lot of people, especially if it's a business market, they like that live tile integration, the glance and go idea. So make sure you see it in the description. Now keep in mind, in the Windows Phone marketplace, there's two levels of description. In the first one, you're going to get about two sentences. Then you have to do more info. Some people don't bother with the more info. You have two sentences to really catch their eye. Okay? Make it stand out. You've got to make it sexy. We'll talk a lot about making things sexy in a minute. APS ad control, location services, targeted advertising, right? If you're here in Australia, you don't want advertisements for Cabela's in the U.S. Right? Well, they do ship international. You get the idea. Right? Use targeted advertising. We found that the Windows Live ID integration really helps that. So if you are going to do an ad-based system and they're logged into your system with a Windows Live ID, you get the entire Microsoft Ad Network ad focusing engine to help you with your targeted advertising. Okay? Price it right. Now, the hardest part about this is not underpricing yourself. Now, we've gotten bagged out for having more expensive apps in our marketplace than other marketplaces, but we honestly feel it's worth it. Look at the Xbox Live games. The other platforms don't have that rich Xbox Live integration, you know, console to phone to whatever, right? If it's something like that, and if you can get into the Xbox Live system, like Fruit Ninja, you know, Angry Birds, you get that extra backing. So don't underprice it, because later, if you make a name for yourself, you know, you're the next Half Brick Studios or whatever, people are going to expect a certain level of quality for a certain price. And if you underprice yourself and you think, oh, we put a lot more effort into this next game and your next game is twice as much or three times as much, they're going to go, wait a minute, they're just trying to shaft us. So start at level set, okay? And you can experiment with different price points in different countries, although that can have some backlash. People say, oh, well, what about, you know, why is it more expensive here than it is over here? That's not even the exchange rate, blah, blah, blah. So do that, but at your own risk, you know. I don't know if I would do that, but be careful about it. Publish and localize globally. Now, there may be something that you write for an Australian audience. One of the apps I did, well, a couple of them, Australian Gov2O social networking stuff. It makes sense to an Australian audience. Now, it may make sense to Gov2O aficionados in Europe and the U.S. who want to know what's happening down here, but it, you can set it in the marketplace, I want it distributed here, here, and here. So think about that. Do that. Don't distribute something dealing with tours of the Champs-Élysées in Paris to someone who lives in Perth, unless you know they're about to go to Paris. That's a very narrow market segment. Keep more of what you make, right? 25 to 29 countries have negotiated treaty rates with the U.S. below 30%. 16 countries have 0% withholding. I'm talking about taxes, right? Taxes. The thing about this is because of the marketplace and because we're incorporated in the U.S., we have to deal with U.S. tax laws. Now, if you submit stuff to the marketplace, they're going to ask you for this W-8 form. The W-8 form essentially tells the U.S. IRS, the Internal Revenue Service, that you do not live in the U.S. and you're not a U.S. citizen, so you don't pay U.S.-based sales taxes and income taxes. If you don't fill one of those out, we are obligated to keep like 50% because we can't verify you don't live outside the country. Take the time to fill the form out and send it in. Okay? Don't shaft yourself on your earnings because you forgot to fill in a form. And it's not a big form. It's a one-pager. All right. Think about getting your app featured. We're going to talk quite a bit about this in a second. Dave already mentioned that we can kind of help you get your app featured. Previously, this really wasn't available to us. We really couldn't influence that process too much, but they're starting to open it up a bit. And we're finding that they're really targeting apps for locales. So my Government 2.0 app was actually featured in the marketplace. Now, it's kind of obscure. It's a Gov2O app for a fairly narrow market segment, but it was featured in the Windows Phone Marketplace globally. Okay, so think about that, and I'll tell you some tips for getting your app featured. So we're going to talk about demographics again. There are some interesting stats about who's using phones, what they're using them for, and how long they're using them. Tell you what, does anybody in here have teenage girls? One or two of you? Man, somebody has got to pay attention to what they're doing with their phones because they're really consuming a lot of stuff. 33% of teens send more than 100 texts a day. Jeez, I'm not sure I can type that fast. 11% send more than 200 texts a day. Right? Over half are texting daily. The ones that aren't probably don't have a phone. That's kind of weird. 75% of all teens own cell phones, up 45% in the last, I guess that's 7 years now. Right? Only a quarter of them don't own them. But this is a good market. It's a hot market. And we're finding that for some reason, teenagers seem to be wanting to spend money. And they love being able to spend money on their phone. Now, I'm not saying that we should victimize the poor teenagers of the world. But they're a good target demographic. Right? They will spend money on your apps.
Their money or their parents' money?
Take your pick. So a lot of them think it's one and the same. What daddy has is mine. I've got two girls about this big. I'm dreading teenage years already. I'm going to have an axe over the door. So social media. Social media is like the fastest growing segment and by far outpacing everything else for cell phone interactions. If you have a cool traffic management app or something, you know, bus timetables, add a Twitter integration, a Facebook integration, and a Foursquare integration to it. That app will get picked over things that don't have social media interaction with them. It's what teenagers want to do. If they're disconnected from their friends, they turn into a gibbling pile of rubbish in the corner. They need social media. Adults are more and more needing social media. As I told some of these people in the beginning, I'm the mayor of this room on Foursquare. Can you believe it? I'm not going to tell anybody else that. That's getting silly. So think about that kind of stuff. People want to be connected, and they have their phone with them all the time. Have any of you seen a teenager that's lost their phone? They will run out of the house naked looking for it to find their phone. Right? Help them out. Don't victimize them. Help them out. Provide social networking integration in your applications. Right? They love taking and sharing pictures, for better or worse. They love taking and sharing pictures. The phone is becoming their social device. And buying things is 11%, which must be the Beverly Hills crowd. Okay? Now, devices. Think about the landscape of devices we've seen over the past few years. Okay? Does anybody remember those? Is there a problem with this picture? That's one problem. It's in color. That's a doctored phone, because that thing never had a color screen. I know, because I think that was my first phone. So we've gone through this range of devices, right? And we end up with the crapple over here. Okay, Apple over here. So think about what we have now. This is your target platform. When you think about application distribution, you might have to consider the whole gamut of things. Obviously, we're talking about the Windows Phone marketplace and Windows Phone here. But we would be silly to believe that these did not exist. Right? They do. We think it's easier to start with Windows Phone applications, and we have a better push for how we advertise in the marketplace. So we believe that you'll start making more money on Windows Phone first before you will on Apple or Android. You can also, if you don't write a rich application, like a client app for the phone, and you base it on web from the web, you can do HTML5, use the MVC, the Model View Controller framework we provide for .NET, and deliver to all these devices from one cloud-based service. Okay? Now, whoever heard that before, write once, run everywhere. But you create a different view for the different form factors and different devices. The iPad's obviously got more real estate. The Slate device I've got has more real estate. Okay? Whereas the phones don't. So think about your target audience and your target devices. Okay? Now, think about the future. What is your app going to run on in the future? Is it going to run on a Braille-enabled device? For vision impaired? Maybe. It's going to be kind of hard to play Angry Birds on that thing, but it's all right. Will it be something like this? This is a snapshot out of one of our envisioning videos that I took. What's the form factor going to look like? How are people going to use it? Are they going to have headsets? Are they going to be able to just to talk to their phone? Are they going to carry around a Slate device that has a built-in 3G stack and just use a Bluetooth headset for it? So, it doesn't hurt to recompile and rebuild an app and redeploy it for a different type of device like this. But where do you want to go? Where's your target demographic going to go? I know some people that would focus exclusively on the Braille device. Right? Now, any questions about target demographics or devices? No, I told you I don't have a phone to give away, but I've got Hershey's Kisses. So, killer apps. The thing that is going to drive people to pay you money is having a killer app, right? And then once you have that killer app, how do you differentiate it from other killer apps? Who of you will be the next Angry Birds or Fruit Ninja or pick your favorite game, right? I like playing Assassin's Creed on my phone, actually. We've got these things we call red threads. Now, for the Windows Phone, to us, if your app has these things, you're going down the right path. You're in the right direction. These are things that we will start to think about featuring in the marketplace. Personal, your day, your way. Social networking integration, calendaring, managing your daily life. But doing it in a way that makes sense to you, not forcing people to do things in a way that makes sense to somebody else. Think about relevant. The people around you, your location. I want to see in bus and timetable applications, I want to walk out of the convention center, say, I want to go to Hard Rock Cafe, and have the thing say, I know where you are, I know where you want to get to. If you walk 20 meters down this ramp, there's a bus stop. Look for this bus number, and it'll be here in 3 minutes. Get on the bus, pay with the phone, sit down, get off at Hard Rock Cafe and have dinner. That's cool. That's relevant. It uses my location. It's aware of its environment. We had there's one group that's developing an application that uses your location and the GPS and the phone to where if you're traveling at more than 30 Ks, like in a car, it mutes the ringer and stuff on your phone. So you're not distracted by phone calls and messing with your phone driving down the highway. That may annoy some people, but I think that's kind of a cool use and a cool vision of that. And connected. Your peace of mind, your stuff, access anywhere. Think about our office hub. You can put stuff in SkyDrive. You can get it on your desktop. You can get it on your phone. You can get it from your TV. And we're able to provide this seamless integration where you have your stuff wherever you have it, wherever you happen to be. I love using OneNote to take notes on my phone, because I take notes on the phone, I open up my laptop, and there they are. I go home, open up my desktop, and there they are. Enter notes on the desktop, they show up on the phone. It's all integrated. It's all connected. I have access to my stuff anywhere. Okay? And you can do that right now with Windows Phone. To do this, think about backing your application by an Azure-based service, cloud-based service. If the data is stored in the cloud, they can access it from anywhere in any device with your client. That's a rich experience, okay? Money. We have these 10 basic things we look at. And the top one is a bit ambiguous, but you know it when you see it. It's like what the judge said about pornography. I know it when I see it. Basic functionality, does it start? Does it perform? Is it stable? Does it crash? Quality content and metadata. Metadata is important because it allows you to interact with other things, like the automated Bing search. You register for Bing, a product catalog. So when somebody searches for a particular product in Bing, they'll say, oh, by the way, there's this app that will help you do this as well. They click on the Bing search and they load your app. Right? Connected, interactive, device-centric. One of the things that really gets noticed when you talk about device-centric, excuse me, do you take advantage of features on the phone? If you take advantage of live tiles, for example, that's a huge bonus. Because that's a feature we want to promote about the phone. Try to drive for that. Try to take advantage of that. Does it improve somebody's lifestyle? Is it original? And is it situationally aware? Now we're starting to make the phone a part of somebody's life, not just a device that they play, games on or that they use for texting. Situational awareness makes it part of their everyday being. And then the wow factor. Now, I got to admit, the wow factor is usually graphically oriented. If you've got sexy graphics in your application, you're on to something. Okay? How do you want to make your money? So Dave touched on this a little bit, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but do you want to make money from the sale of the app, or do you want to make money from advertising? If you're going to make money from advertising, don't make them pay for the app or pay a pittance, right? If you don't want your app to become the next fart app or the next flashlight app or the next lighter app, make it a 99-cent thing to reduce the cheesy barrier for entry, right? But awesome apps can cost more. And if you have a special target app, say, I wrote one that's about, I used Nick's social viewer template to create one for security, IT security, where it centralizes and brings into one location all the vendor announcements of vulnerability securities, the MITRE stuff, the Common Vulnerability Exposure List, all into one place. It's a specific target audience for IT administrators and people interested in security, but it's valuable. Because all that security update information, AV information, is in one spot on your phone in your hand. So I charge for that one. I made one for, I play a card game called Magic the Gathering. I made one to follow that. That's not quite as, needy as the IT security one. I don't charge for that one. Right? So make sure you have a reason for charging for it. And this is a huge one. Don't make craplications just to flesh out a portfolio. Right? Because then you'll be known as that guy who doesn't spend any time writing apps. Okay? If you want to build a reputation, if you want to build a business doing phone apps and make money from it, put some time into it. Right? Do it right. Right. Ad revenue, embedded in the apps, and targeted. So the thing about ad revenue is if you link it to Windows Live ID, it's much more targeted. You get a higher hit rate on your ads. And every platform has it. Every platform has ad revenue support. So just make sure that when you use it, you want it to be as targeted as possible. I couldn't care less about women's underwear ad. No, I shouldn't say that. I couldn't care less about, you know, something happening in Tasmania right now. I don't need to know about a sale happening at a shop in Tasmania. But I do need to know about travel stuff. I do that a lot. And our advertising system knows that. So think about that. Richard Foster made $28,000 in 4 months just in ad revenue. He had a cool app. People wanted it. He had several, like I think it was four apps. How many did he do? Four?
Some of that.
Something like four apps that were pretty cool, supported by ad revenue. He made $28,000. Not bad. If you extrapolate that, and he gets popular, and he has a couple more apps out there, it can get pretty significant. It's a little better than book royalties, I think. Now, marketing. It is about sex appeal. That's the best way to put it. Okay, sexy graphics. Things that catch people's eye, things that draw people's attention. When you're flipping through the marketplace, the icon will catch your attention usually before the text does. If you see a cool icon, if you see a cheesy little icon, you know, it looks like a little flashlight lighter or something, like, oh, another one of those. But it might be for some really cool app about fire warning systems. But you wouldn't know it. Graphics catch the eye. Getting featured in Marketplace is about sex appeal. The key graphic you want for Marketplace visibility is your background graphic. That's the one they use when they feature it in the Marketplace. They put it in the background of the Marketplace, of the panorama. Your background graphic is key to getting featured.
It's also the optional.
Yeah, image. It's also the optional
so
one.
So most of us don't do it. So.
Please use one, right? So think about this, right? Graphics are going to get attention. That's a cool picture. Even if you're not into Magic the Gathering, that's a cool picture, right? It catches people's eye, okay? This one is one I use for my splash screen for my Magic the Gathering app, right? Now, the backgrounds. Think about things that look cool. Now, keep in mind, when it's featured on the marketplace, it's going to fade it out a bit. So while this has some fairly brilliant colors in it, when it's faded out, it still has its appeal because of the shapes and the broad strokes in the picture. Okay? And in fact, it looks like that. This is the background off my Magic the Gathering app. I've had apps featured in the marketplace, right? And I tell you, even if people aren't necessarily interested in the app, they will download the featured one. You'll see, like, I think my Gov2O app, when it got featured in the marketplace, I saw a 600% spike in downloads in a couple hours after it got featured. It counts. Okay? This stuff gets noticed. Right? So don't skip the background graphic. So some more marketing stuff. Here's some page links, some stuff that you want to look at for target demographics, your audience, where things are coming from. Find competitors in organic search rankings. That's kind of cool. Because you want to know, I have a cool idea for an app, but has anybody else done it? How are you going to differentiate yourself from the competition? Do your homework. Find out what made them successful. Don't be ashamed to copy their pattern, what made them successful, and then improve it. Narrow it down to your target audience. Okay? Don't worry. Shameless self-promotion is okay in marketing. Right? Use it. TrackUR.com, social media marketing. Teenagers, buy apps. Right? Don't forget your social media connections. And then find places to advertise. Email announcements, e-zines, podcasts, teleseminars. There's two ways that I really like to look at marketing. One, find someone who will support you. How many of you have gone into a Starbucks or a Gloria's Jean and seen the little sign on the counter that says, download our app? Everybody does it, right? How many of you went to the TechEd website, download the TechEd app? Nobody. Why? No link to the app on the TechEd website. Visibility. It's about visibility. Get your stuff noticed. The other way I like to think of this is become a trusted advisor. If you happen to be circulating in forums that appeal to your target market, answer the forums. Get involved in the community. Become the trusted advisor. After you've gotten that status and people start coming to you for questions, you can say, oh yeah, you know, if you download my app, I have this stuff in there all the time. Right? But you need to have a trusted advisor kind of status to do that. Don't jump in some forum as a newbie. Say, hey, I'm here, I'm loud, I'm proud, download my app. Nah. That's a good way to get squashed, especially in a hacking community. No, no, no. Don't do that. Okay? So become the trusted advisor or find someone to help you support it and promote your app. Okay? Mistakes. There's a good way to shaft yourself doing this. Not knowing your target audience, jumping in there as a newbie are two good ways to screw up your reputation early. And if you do that, it's like, you know how bad news will screw people over more than good news? And it takes forever to dig yourself out of a hole once you've messed up your reputation in a forum or something. Most people scrap it and start a new ID and try again. The internet enables that kind of stuff. Word of mouth is directly proportional to the deviation from the mean of the awesomeness or crappiness of your application. There's no truer words I've invented today than that. When you think about the way this works, social media is driving a lot of these application downloads. And social media is 110% word of mouth. We're starting to see search engines incorporate social media and this idea of friend casting to get, say, oh, I'm thinking about buying X, Y, or Z. What do you think my friends are going to buy? You think it's cool? And your friends will tell you, and it'll help narrow your decision in purchasing. So think about that. If your app is average, nobody's going to talk about it. If it's way cool, everybody's going to talk about it. How many of you heard of Fruit Ninja and Angry Birds before you got here? Almost everybody, right? There's t-shirts and plushie dolls made of that stuff now. And beached ash, bro. Think about that. The same applies to the crappiness factor. If you go too far on the crappiness factor, that word of mouth will spread faster than the good one. But if you're average, you're not going to get anywhere. Spend the time to make your apps awesome. All right? Now, that's the end of my spiel. I think it's the end of Dave's spiel.
Yep, it is.
Please fill out your evals. I know it's early. Like I had the last session last night. People left. I did a great job, but they didn't fill out too many evals. So please fill out your evals. These mice are awesome. Once you get used to the gestures, it's really, really cool. Are there any questions? Anything you want to kick around? You want to know? Yep. Right. Right. Most people will flip directly over to the free column. So the question is, if I can see if I paraphrase it, if I got it right. It's hard to do this when people are flicking through the marketplace and they see $5, $4, $5. They won't even try to buy it, and they won't know there's a trial version available. so they'll skip over it, as opposed to getting a trial version and wanting to pay for it later. Whereas some places, you'll see there's a free trial version, then they'll go and buy the other one. Is that pretty much the paraphrasing? If you do have trial, put it in the first few lines of your description and make it noticeable. So when people are flipping through there, they see free trial, and then they will stop.
The problem is actually worse than that, because the problem is that there's actually a free column,
and it is. And admittedly, that may be what you want to do, what you have to do right now. It would pad our marketplace stats, I guess. But yeah, so you might have to do that right now until I would like to see in the marketplace when you have a trial version that it shows up in the free column. And then when you download it for free, you get the trial bit, you pay for it, and it, you know, then you're gold. But the problem with that is it seems deceptive. If you download a free version of an app and find out it's crippleware or something like that, it irks people. So it's kind of it's a tricky situation to have to deal with. So try two apps. Yeah. Yeah, and that's beyond my pay grade to decide.
Hey, I'm conscious of time.
Yep, we've got 2 minutes.
So I guess, if you've got any more questions, perhaps come up to the front. And really like to thank everyone for coming along today. A number of you signed up on here for tokens. You should all have emails back now for those tokens, so get on board with that. Just fill in a few more details and then get yourself registered up there. And
We still have like 5 minutes left, so we don't have to storm out. But
So feel free to come up or feel free to hang in here. But thank you very much for coming along.
Thanks.